Now it's time for a TARDIS break.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Voiceover Man. So, it is time for this week's TARDIS break, and it's a bit of a sad TARDIS break this week because we have come to the end of this series of Doctor Who, and I am joined by fellow Doctor Who aficionado, Natasha Aspel. Good evening, Natasha.
Hi, how are you?
Hiya. I'm good, thank you. How are you feeling today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good, good. So, let's just get right in about it. We've got two final episodes to talk about, episode 7 and episode 8. One thing I should just point out before we start is that I'm a bit sad we've only had 8 episodes this series. I think we should go back to having a bit of a longer format, because I was watching some of Russell's first series and we had like between 12 and 15 episodes, and I think that format would work better.
I totally agree, but I also feel like that's just because I want more. But yes, I totally agree.
Yeah, no. So, we're going to kick off with episode 7, The Legend of Ruby Sunday. Tash, do you want to give a little rundown of the story?
Of course, of course. So, the episode starts with the Doctor and Ruby entering UNIT to try and find out who this mysterious woman is who has been with them everywhere they go.
Yeah.
Which is where they find out is a woman named Susan Triad, which we then start thinking, is this a trap due to her name being Susan, which is the Doctor's granddaughter?
Yeah, of course. And I do love how Maurice Gibbons, the new UNIT scientific advisor played by Lenny Rush, constantly points out the probability of it being a trap.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the Doctor still falls for it. It's kind of annoying, like, you know, listen for once. You always have a go at people for not listening to you. Why don't you listen to them?
I think it was just hopeful wishing, bless him.
He really wants to see Susan again. I think where the main theme throughout this series has been about family, you can tell he's got that longing.
Yes, definitely.
That was a very prominent theme in the episode as well. The Doctor and Ruby found out who this mysterious woman who had been following them through time and space was, but they also tried to track down Ruby's mother. So they found Ruby had a VHS tape from the night she was born, where she was dumped. And they used a thing called a time window to recreate a roundup. What did you think of that scene with the time window? How did it make you feel?
Well, first of all, I was very happy to see one of the characters was one of my favourite actors from Waterloo Road. That made me very happy. So
I
was so excited, but overall I wasn't so excited because it was very intense. It was quite frightening as well, but it was really intriguing at the same time. You know, we've never seen anything like this before, so seeing something like that, which we've never explored before, and seeing how the Doctor uses it and how it's supposed to be a videotape but stuff keeps going wrong, it's very intriguing.
Yeah, and I love how the Doctor kind of react to this technology as if it's crude, when two humans, you know, branching us all in together, it's something we wish we could actually do, and the Doctor's just looking down on it as well. My favorite thing about this whole scene is that everything in it was practical.
Yeah,
there was one obvious bit added in with CGI afterwards, but they actually built the room so the Doctor and Ruby could walk around in this 3D space, which I assumed they would just use CGI. So I'm very happy to see some good practical effects being used.
Yeah, 100%. It makes it, in a way, so much more realistic.
It does, it does. Then this led in to the big reveal. A massive blackbeard. It killed. We know who it killed. I mean, this was a big reveal. Some people had hinted at it. I wasn't sure if it was going to happen. I did say a couple of weeks ago I thought it may be what was going to happen. And then I was very, very surprised when I sat down and saw it on the big screen. It was, of course, the return of Dutek from the 1975 Doctor Who serial, Pyramids of Mars. Tash, tell us a little bit about who Dutek is.
Dutek is the god of death. We saw him in the classic era with Tom Baker and Sarah Jane. The Doctor, he sent him at the end of the episode, but the Doctor stated that if Dutek ever came again, he'd be undefeatable, hence why the Doctor is so terrified at the end.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I absolutely love Dutek's new design. I mean, he just looked so incredible. This you can see, this is where the Disney budget has gone, bringing in those monsters and making them more terrifying, you know.
100%. It was really scary as well. I was just like, oh my gosh, imagine if you saw that in real life. Oh,
I know. I mean, to be fair, everybody held their stuff together really well.
Yeah.
And I did notice that Russell Henry Harbinger in The Devil's Chord, and then there was Harriet Harbinger in this. Harbingers, of course, are the messengers of the god. This is also where the Susan Triad trap played out, as we saw that Sutek had manifested her everywhere to kill.
Yeah,
I have to admit, the whole episode I loved. If I was to rank it out of 10, I think it would be a solid 9.5 for me. What about for you?
10. I thought it was amazing. My favourite line when goes to Mal, when she went to the doctor and went, dreamed you were an ambulance. that was my favourite, because I was thinking that in my head when the doctor said that to Susan, going, out of context, that sounds so weird. And then Mal just went up and said it, and I was like, yes.
But then I love how the doctor just gives no further context. He's just like, she remembers. I know she remembers. Oh, no, but this episode, I have to admit, I think for me, it was one of the best of the series. I mean, I've enjoyed the whole series, but this one just, it felt up there. It was amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I also think it's one of the best Doctor Who cliffhangers we've ever had.
Oh yeah, most definitely. The only one I think that probably would come close to it is also a Russell episode where we had Journey's End, Stolen Earth.
Yes!
I mean, that one brought back so many companions and just had everybody in the TARDIS. I absolutely loved it. This one, bringing back a classic villain. That's what we all want. I mean, the Daleks and Cybermen have been overused. I'd love to see some more classic villains coming back. I want to see the Candyman return.
I want to see the Rani return.
Well, we will get on to that in a second, talking about the next episode. But first, we are going to listen to a piece of music from Doctor Who Series 8. This is one called Pudding Brain. Mad Pudding Brains, composed by Murray Gold for Doctor Who Series 8. And I think I've recently been rewatching Series 8, and the portrayal of the time vortex in that title sequence with the clocks and cogs, I just love that. What did you think about that one?
Oh, I absolutely loved it. It is one of my favourite episodes, that one.
The next episode, here we go. The final episode, Empire of Death. There was just not a second to breathe in this episode. Straight away, it starts with everybody at UNIT dying, and then Sutek killing every planet. And this is where his plan is revealed, that he had manifested Susan everywhere, and she was bringing the Dust of Death. Which, I don't know what they could have called it better, but Dust of Death just sounded a bit lazy.
Yeah, I get it. It was, oh my gosh, at that bit, I was holding my sister's hand. I was like, what? I was like, there's no way they're definitely dead. I was like, it can't be. Although I made a very funny joke saying Thanos is in fact Ruby's mum.
But a bit later on in the episode when we got to it, I made a Marvel joke as well, which I'll say about later. But no, it was just this episode, it had so much that people would have loved, and I'm not sure why it's been getting so much hate online.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was a brilliant finale.
Oh, it was. And Doctor and Ruby, obviously, Sutek's taken over the TARDIS. The Doctor and Ruby go into the memory TARDIS, previously only seen in the Doctor Who spin-off Tales of the TARDIS, and there was a linked episode of that earlier in the week, which slotted directly into a scene from Empire of Death. And the bit where they're in the memory TARDIS and just talking about how he defeated Sutek last time, and with 15 referencing Sarah Jane as well, it just...
It made me so happy. It really... It was definitely when they went in and it was memory TARDIS. I was like, oh my gosh, like, yeah. And then they started giving hints to previous doctors and companions. And it just made my heart melt.
Yes. And when Mel saw the Sixth Doctor's coat, and then later on when she's hugging Sylvester, the Seventh Doctor's jumper.
Oh.
I just...
Oh, it was so sweet.
I cried. And I loved the drawers of all the Sonics as well, because... That looks very much like one of my drawers I currently have. I'll let you talk about how Sutek is defeated.
So, Ruby tricks Sutek, which was very smart of her. And
it was.
They are, what do you call the thingy-majiggies that flew the TARDIS into the vortex. And as Sutek was flinging about, he was clinging onto the vortex and was opening everything to all the places he's been and killed. And it brought them back to life.
Yeah, I loved the idea of bringing death to death. Because if you kill death, you end up with life. They cancel each other out. And I love that. And this was where I made Marvel joke. Because when above the skyline of London, the little blue streak started to appear.
Yeah.
And then I said, oh gosh, Sutek's opened the multiverse. I have to admit, I loved it. And then the Doctor killing Sutek, because he actually killed him this time. I love how that destroyed him, because he'd become the very thing he never wanted to become. He ended up a killer and becoming what Sutek wanted, the bringer of death.
Yeah.
Which I love that. I mean, I've seen some people complaining that in this series, the Doctor has seemed a bit too emotional. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think they don't know what they're talking about. If you look at all the different Doctors, I mean, it's different ways of emotion. Yeah. You know, Peter Capaldi normally got his emotion through anger, but David Tennant cried a lot.
And I'm just going to read you an exchange I had here on the official Doctor Who Facebook page.
Yeah.
So one person said, oh my God, will he stop crying for 10 minutes? Why is he sad about killing the God of Death? He's saving the Earth. Oh, Lordy, get over it. And then I said, Russell has said that he deliberately made the 15th Doctor more emotional because he wanted people, particularly the younger audience, to know that they can express their emotion in a healthy way. And Davis is aware of the criticism, but that's who he is now. The Doctor's a lot more in touch with his emotion. The other person just replied to me, oh, great, rolling eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
Yeah, but it's also the fact that the whole point with the... By generation, was that the Doctor had, you know, kind of had a fresh start, you know, so David's Doctor could heal and Shuti's doctor had a new start.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, though. He's been allowed to heal. He's had put himself through his own therapy, and now he is a person coming out on the other side of all that anger and darkness. Now, the twist that many, many, many people hated was about Ruby's mum. Do you want to go into a bit of detail on that?
So Ruby's mum is an ordinary woman. She was 15 years old when she had Ruby. She actually did it to save Ruby because she wasn't in a safe household. And a lot of people aren't happy about it because she is an ordinary woman, basically.
The thing is, what I took away from that story is it doesn't matter how seemingly normal someone is. If they're important to you, then they are important no matter what anybody else says.
Yeah, I thought it was beautifully written. Like, nothing has to be a massive alien. It doesn't have to... I feel like people are very disappointed, but they put themselves in that place.
Oh, yeah.
Because people made up theories saying that it was, I mean, quite ridiculous. No offense to people if you thought this and you were listening, but thinking it was River Song or Rose Taylor or Clara.
Or the 13th Doctor herself.
Can I just say, if they ended up being the 13th Doctor, I would have been very, very upset if they made the only female Doctor have a baby.
Well,
I feel like if they did that...
No, I agree. And I would have been annoyed as well because it would completely cancel out her, admittedly, badly written, but her romance with Yaz.
Yes, 100%. People disappointed themselves, and I think it's actually really beautiful that Ruby's mum was just an ordinary girl who was actually trying to save her daughter.
Yeah,
it wasn't the most like exciting for audience members, but that mystery has been solved for Ruby, and that in herself was magical, and now she can start a new life with both her mums and her nan. I think it was beautiful.
I had a worry that if Ruby found... It's been my worry all throughout the series. That if Ruby found her actual mum, she would forget about Carla and Cherry. And I'm so, so pleased that that hasn't happened. And they're now becoming big family.
It was just written so beautifully. I'm so glad that they didn't just completely ignore the family that she's grown up with, and they've actually just become one.
Leave the TARDIS. She will be back. Russell has promised she will be back. She's just on a bit of a break because he didn't feel she'd learn all this new stuff about her family and then just leave, which I get that. I think she deserves a break to explore. I'm just going to play a clip of the part at the very end of the episode, which had a lot of people... still second-guessing.
This is blood.
And that's how the story of the church on Ruby Road comes to an end. With a very happy ending for little Ruby Sunday. But life goes on, doesn't it? Ruthlessly. And what happens, you might wonder, what happens to that mysterious traveller in time and space known as the Doctor? I'm sorry to say his story ends in absolute terror. Night-night.
Yes, so that was Mrs. Flood speaking there in a, I say a familiar outfit. Tash, what did you take away from this?
Was like, what? Mrs. Flood as a character, which I'm sure everyone else finds, but very confusing, because it's not only who is she, it's the fact that one moment she seems so evil, and the next moment when they come back to life, she's cheering, clever boy, yeah.
I think that was definitely put in as a red herring towards Clara.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, who is she? Like, I mean, I have possibilities, but I also feel like Russell is pulling my leg on it. So
I'm worried people are gonna back themselves into a corner again with theories about who she is and then make themselves disappointed again.
Yeah.
Personally, though, the costume she was wearing at the end was a definite callback to Romana 1. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the white feathers, the flowing dress, definitely. But then the umbrella makes me think of Missy as well.
Yeah.
And it would make sense as well if she was purposefully dressing as ex-companions to kind of torment the Doctor, similar to how the Toy Maker tormented him with the puppet show.
Yeah.
But on reflection, and I have had 3 rewatches since, I did really enjoy the finale, and I know people will probably get angry about it, but in the end, the reason I watch Doctor Who, and I'm sure it's probably the same for you, is because it's an escape and it's something that brings joy into my life. Although, yeah, there's some things I would have done personally differently, maybe, and some things I would have changed, you know. I think that can be said about any episode. But 100%. I'll get your opinion on this. One thing that's annoying me so far is people saying after this series, the show should be cancelled or the show should be completely rebooted or get rid of Russell. But I think the series just goes to show that you can never please everyone and people will always hate, but people will always love. And at the end, everybody is still talking about it. So can it have been that bad?
100%. I think you can never fully... With any fandom, you know, you get it with Star Wars a lot. You get it with Marvel a lot. It's any fandom, really. You can't please anyone, everyone. And that's the issue. No matter what you write, no matter what you do, no matter how you acted it, you can't please everyone. But I think, I mean, I definitely don't think it should be cancelled. Definitely not. I'd be very upset for many different reasons.
And I will say, this is the first time we've had a series finale of Doctor Who without a teaser of the coming episode. All it said at the end was the Doctor will return, and that will be in the Christmas episode written by Stephen Moffat with Nicola Coughlan from Derry Girls and Bridgerton. What are you expecting from the Christmas?
Not episode? A lot. Not like, you know, I'm not expecting like it to be good. I'm expecting it to be amazing. Yeah. And I love the actress who's playing the companion. But obviously we haven't really been given anything.
Yeah.
So I'm not really expecting anything.
No.
Like, I'm just ready to just sit and be excited and just see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be the best thing to follow a Christmas dinner. Well, thank you ever so much for joining us this evening, Tash. And as soon as we have any more Doctor Who news, I will be sure to get you back on. And thank you for joining us over the past 8 weeks. And now the final Doctor Who related track we're going to hear this evening is from Doctor Who Series 12. It is The Cybermasters, composed by Sagan Akinola. And I will let you go now, Tash. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The TARDIS Break is a podcast devised by Natasha Aspel and Rhys Humphries. All clips used are used under fair use in the UK for use of reviews, with copyright on them held by the BBC.